Hi. I'm Kayla, and I go to TCF. I've been going to TCF like 5 years, I think. It's been about 5 years. And I have a husband. His name's TJ, and 4 kids. TJ's actually played, I think, basketball with some of the ECF husbands. He's really enjoyed that. Emily, I'm in home group with Emily Owens, and I was sharing with her a couple months ago just stuff that's been going on in her life, and she said, "Do you want to share that at the women's retreat?" And I wish I would have said immediately, "Yes, of course," but I was like, but here I am, and I think it's actually been so cool because a lot of what I have plan to share has been taught by several different women here already. So I think that's just a testimony to the Spirit. Okay. So a little over 2 years ago, my husband had a complete career change. He had been in the design world for over 15 years, and the company he was working for at the time specialized in website and app building. He helped design those. His boss was great. There's nothing really wrong with the job, but he kind of alluded to that there would be maybe some changes going on with the company, and we didn't really know if he was going to have a job within like a 6 month period. So even though nothing was definite, he still kind of put out some feelers with family and friends and just kind of seeing if there was any design specific work for him. And then nothing really kind of panned out with that, so we're still just kind of in limbo. But he also had been building a deck in our backyard, and after he finished, he said, "I really enjoy doing this type of work." And it didn't really surprise me because he's pretty much renovated everything in our house and through that has developed a love of carpentry. And he had a few close friends working for themselves doing contract handyman work, so he decided to meet with them and discuss what it might look like for him to do that type of work as well. After many conversations and a lot of prayer, we decided that he would start his own business. He had worked out a plan with his boss that would slowly phase him out over 6 months, which was great because he could start this, still get paid, and it wouldn't be as hard. And if you know me, I am not a risk taker at all. Would have never entertained this even a few years ago. We have 4 kids basically on 1 income. Logistically and financially speaking, there would just be no way that we were going to do this. The Lord has been working on my heart, though, and after discussing this with him, I didn't want my fear to get in the way of potentially something great for him or our family. And more importantly, I did feel the Spirit was leading us in this direction. And also, TJ has been so great. He has a servant's heart, and he has worked so hard to meet all of my goals during our marriage, and I really feel like the Spirit was saying, now it's your turn to support him. So we had heard starting your own business was hard, but we really did go in the mindset of like, okay, this is gonna be hard. It might take even years before seeing any progress with this. However, saying it's going to be hard and living through it are two totally different things. And I was not prepared for how hard it would be. Since my husband is primarily doing renovations now, I feel like it's only fitting to compare these last 2 years to a renovation. When we first set out to do this, it felt like a demo day. We had our confirmation and our decision. We had plans. It's time to get started. And if you've started a renovation, demo day is exciting. You start ripping out the old stuff, tearing down walls, and being led in this new path was exciting. Also nerve-wracking, but we were willing to take it on. After demo day, reality quickly sets in because you are left with what? The mess. I feel like you can't fully appreciate this unless you've lived in your house while renovations are taking place. The tearing down happens so quickly, but the mess lasts for a long time. We had been grinding for about a year, and last summer I came to a breaking point. TJ was working pretty much every day, multiple jobs, long hours. We had two kids in travel sports, going in different directions every weekend, scraping by financially. Both of us were physically and emotionally spent. We were juggling, but balls were constantly being dropped. I remember sitting in the parking lot of my daughter's softball practice. I had called a close friend from Ohio, and she asked how I was doing, and I just started to cry. I was overwhelmed, filled with doubt, not knowing up from down. I was drowning. I don't think I realized how much I was carrying until that moment. But I remember her telling me, like, "Hey, I think it's time for a change. You guys gave it your best shot. This is not sustainable. You can't keep living like this." And in some aspects, I mean, she was right. I remember thinking, like, what are we doing? What are we doing with our lives? Lord, I felt like I heard you so clearly to go down this path. Was I mistaken? And if that's the case, like, I question everything. Like, do I even know that I'm hearing from you? I really just don't get it. And to be honest, I was also angry by this point. And I once heard a pastor say, our flesh sets ungodly expectations for God. When God doesn't do what we want him to do when we want him to do it, that breeds disappointment. And if you stay in that long enough, that leads to frustration and then ultimately anger towards God. And waiting longer than expected for me started to reveal where my heart was truly at. And in most renovations, you get to a point where you are so frustrated and angry with the mess, you start asking yourself, like, what have we done? Why did we even do this? You forget the vision because all you can see is the mess. When I got home that night, I remember crying out to the Lord saying, like, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I've been running on fumes and literally have zero left to give. And in that moment, probably my lowest moment, I felt the Spirit say to my heart, stay. And I remember thinking, nope, I don't want to. But I did feel like Jesus lifted my head, like, grabbed my face, looked me in the eye, and just said, like, stay. Like, stay with me. And at the time, I felt like really just meant continue staying on this path. But looking back, I can see that he was inviting me to stay with him in the mess, in my mess. Michelle Cochran talked a little bit this about our group, but that was the first time I had experienced peace that surpassed understanding in a tangible way. My world was crazy, out of control, but my spirit, it was at peace. Jesus calmed the storm inside my soul at that moment and reminded me of who he was and that he was there. I've thought a lot about Peter stepping out of the boat to meet Jesus walking on the water. And although I'm sure there was some hesitancy stepping out of that boat, it almost seems like the easiest part to me. And as a child, I would be so critical of his, it was easy to be critical of his lack of faith. But now that I've been in my own storm, I mean, I get it. The longer we have to weather a storm, it's easy to focus only on that storm. It can be all-consuming, and I think that's what Satan wants. When we are at our most vulnerable, he wants us focusing on the strong winds, the force of the waves hitting us, or just even future impending storms ahead. And I imagine he loves to see us start drowning in the lies that he tells us as we lose our footing and sink. This will never work out. You're not good enough. God misled you. If the Lord really loved you, why would he allow you to go through this? It's only when we start to drown that we cry out, Lord, save me, when he's been there actually all along. How easily we forget who he is and what he can do when we take our eyes off of him. So I had to make a choice. If I was going to stay, I had to decide if I truly believed who Jesus says he is. Again, it's easy to profess faith, but when the testing comes, does that faith actually hold up? Do I believe he is faithful? Do I believe he provides and shepherds? Do I believe he's good? Even though I don't understand, this circumstance is extremely hard. Nothing makes sense. Close friends are even telling me to quit. Can I muster up one mustard seed of faith to trust him. It's really hard to articulate, but the peace that I felt in that, in my soul that night is why I chose to stay and trust. I knew there was nothing tangible that could quiet my soul like that. And in doing so, I have learned more about the character of Jesus by just sitting with him and being in his presence. And like Emily said this morning, it is a daily thing, and there were times where I would claw my way there. But I slowly started reading through the Psalms, just one a day, one or two a day. And I kind of picture this part of the renovation as Jesus sitting with me on heaps of rubble. And to be clear, my circumstances did not change, but my posture did. And at this point, I am completely stripped bare. My control, expectations, finances, the way I'm used to living, you name it, the walls are down to the studs, everything is exposed. And it wouldn't be a renovation if things didn't go as planned. Contractors always find something that is wrong. Most always find something that is wrong underneath, but you can't see it until the house is completely exposed. But the good news is, sitting with Jesus changes you. It's unavoidable. When you spend time in his presence, you learn more about his character, his love, his passion for you. And because you spend time with him, it's impossible not to become more like him. He can point out the termites or mold festering underneath and say, "Yeah, that's pretty nasty, but it's nothing I can't handle. Let me lead you through that. It won't be an easy or a quick fix, but if you sit with me long enough, I will bring healing and wholeness to that part of your house. You might not be able to see it yet, but I can see the finished product, and it's better than anything you could ever imagine. Are you willing to wait with me?" The Lord provided in crazy ways from that point until the end of the year. We started calling it our manna from heaven. I started writing down example after example of his supernatural provision because I wanted to remember how he got us through this time. I wanted to have concrete examples to share with my kids of how the Lord provides through hard seasons. When you go through drastic changes as a family, it affects everyone. We have been honest with our kids about our circumstances, and they have felt, they definitely felt the sacrifices. But it's also been an opportunity to provide for them and share that even though our circumstances don't drastically change, it doesn't change who God says he is. He's still working and moving pieces that we may never see or understand for his glory. So fast forward to November of last year, and I was preparing for the fast. I went into the fast with something in mind to pray for that pertained to our future. I watch my nieces, and my sister pays me to do that, but that will be ending this summer, so I was kind of like wanting to pray about maybe if there was something that I would do next. But immediately, the Lord pulled me back into his presence, and all I could think about was the word thankfulness. Like he was saying, "Not yet. I need you to stay with me a little bit longer. I've got your future. It'll come. There are still things I want to show you." So I just started reflecting and over the year, writing things I was thankful for, and just remembering what a good life that we do have. I read somewhere that Jesus's glory is complex. The cross and resurrection and exaltation portray both suffering and healing, rejection and triumph, humiliation and glory. I have felt that on the deepest of levels over the past 2 years. So many emotions and circumstances that breed both weakness and strength, brokenness and healing, blindness and the scales falling off. And how can one not be transformed by this experience? Especially walking through it with someone who has done it and understands the complexities completely. My heart has been so blessed by this, not always realizing it at the time, but looking back, it has definitely been a transformative season and continues to be. TJ and I are still imperfect humans who struggle and grow weary, so I'm sorry if you've caught us on a bad day where we're cranky and tired. But we are definitely still waiting in a lot of areas. My prayer is that TJ and I will look back on this time and say that's when everything changed, realizing it was never actually about his job. I pray we can speak about chains being broken, a marriage strengthened, wisdom given, humility learned and revelations revealed, and intentionality prioritized. Isaiah 45, 2 through 3 says, I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will give you treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name and bestows on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. And sadly, there have been many times that I have not acknowledged what the Lord has done for me, replacing him with earthly obsessions or idols. Yet he still wants to wait with me. I am still given hidden treasures in my darkest of places, and I'm still given a title of honor. That is the picture of grace, and I couldn't be more thankful. I do look forward to the day when his vision becomes my vision and the renovation is complete. But for now, I'm still working on sitting with Jesus in the mess, waiting on future promises. I'm continuing to learn to trust him in times of uncertainty and when there are no immediate solutions. I'm continuing to learn how to relinquish control and trust him with the unknown. I'm learning not to wait on him, but to wait with him. When this season ends, I don't want to forget the posture of thankfulness for waking up to manna in the morning of each new day. I don't want to forget the supernatural provision, guidance, and overabundance of peace. I want to get to the point where I'm not complaining about being in the wilderness waiting. I want to continue to sit and let him prepare me to do the work he created for me and my family. I want to prepare so I can steward the promise that is waiting well. And lastly, I want to remember and constantly be reminded that my hope is not in outcomes, but in Jesus.